Shkaich Rabdaniel, that was not an easy task we gave you. You earned it on Simchas Torah when you gave kavod to Rishon Baruch Hai and Simchas Torah. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I want to thank everyone again for joining us, and I want to try to enter a little bit into the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And I want to begin with the story of the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya once received as a gift a little silver snuff box, a beautiful, beautiful gift. The Baal HaTanya appreciated it, but he felt that if you study the sugya well, the one of the five senses that was not involved in the Chayrei Tzadas is the sense of smell. And the Baal HaTanya said, I'm going to use a snuff box that my nose should also immerse itself in the pleasures of Olam Haza. I wasn't interested. So the Baal HaTanya decided the top section of the snuff box had a little mirror on it. And he decided he was going to use that mirror to be able to check his tefillin to make sure it was exactly in the right spot when he wore his tefillin. So someone was once recounting this story of the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. And he was telling over the story, and as he was relating the story, he said, you know, the Baal HaTanya, he got this gift, the snuff box, and he broke the cover off the snuff box to be able to use it for a higher purpose. The Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Baal HaTanya, was present at the time. And he stopped the fellow and he said, well, what did you say? He said, the Baal HaTanya, he got the snuff box, wanted to use it for a higher purpose, for a holier purpose. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, no, that's not at all what happened. The fellow says, I was there, I saw it with my own eyes. He says, that's not what happened, you're not telling the story right. He said, my grandfather never broke anything in this world. My grandfather didn't break people, and he didn't even break things. What really happened was that the snuff box, the bottom part and the top part were connected by this little hinge with the tiny little pin in it. And the Baal HaTanya ever so gently, ever so carefully removed that little pin, detaching the top part from the bottom part, and then he used the top part to be able to better serve his creator, to use it as a mirror for his tefillin. What was the Tzemach Tzedek so upset about? What was he saying? What was he defending by the Baal HaTanya? He was saying, my grandfather doesn't break things. And the Baal HaTanya didn't need to break in order to elevate. He didn't need to destroy in order to be metaken. It's very fitting that the Tzemach Tzedek was the one who interrupted that fellow who was telling the story, because the Tzemach Tzedek one time commented, what was the chiddush of Chasidus Bichlal? As we celebrate the night of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, as we celebrate a night where the Magefa, the plague of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, the students of Rabbi Akiva finally stopped dying, we daven that we should see an end of this Magefa. We celebrate tonight, like the Aruch HaShulchan says, this was the night, Lag BaOmer was when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the cave, and we hope to emerge from our own quarantine. But we celebrate tonight the possibility of elevating without breaking. That you don't need to break something, said the Tzemach Tzedek, in order to elevate it higher. The Tzemach Tzedek said, what was the chiddush of Chasidus? People often think that before Chasidus came along, it was like the Yetzirah was like a wild dog that you were trying to contain. And the way that you would contain the Yetzirah is that you would grab its mouth and hold it shut, like a wild dog that wants to bite. You would hold its mouth shut so that it wouldn't be able to bite. And people claim that once Chasidus came along, we had a new weapon in fighting the Yetzirah. We had a means of breaking the teeth, to shatter the teeth, so to speak, of that wild dog, to break the Yetzirah. But the Tzemach Tzedek said, that's not right, that's not what Chasidus was. The Tzemach Tzedek, who defended his own grandfather, who never broke, my grandfather didn't break people and he didn't break things. The Tzemach Tzedek said that the chiddush of Chasidus was that Chasidus taught the dog that you don't need to be a dog anymore. That the dog wouldn't want to even have a desire to bite. You don't need to hold its mouth shut. You don't need to break its teeth. You just need to teach in a delicate and gentle way how to elevate something to a higher level. And that's the Beis Medrash I want to enter into tonight. It's a night that we celebrate, of course, first and foremost, the Baal Hilula, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But we also celebrate that whole Beis Medrash. We celebrate his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, who, of course, we couldn't make a Hilula out of his Yahrzeit because he died such a tragic death. And of course, the other student, the other contemporary, the dear friend of Rabbi Shimon was Rabbi Meir. And I want to learn through the lens of that Beis Medrash tonight to see the world through their eyes and to see how they themselves, each one in their own way, Rabbi Akiva, his Talmud Rabbi Meir, and of course Rabbi Shimon, each one went through some type of transformation to be able to see deeper, to understand a new world, a new way of seeing things. That's what we're celebrating today. That's the secret. That's the sod of Torah that was revealed to the world through the eyes of Rabbi Shimon, and again, that base medrash. Let's start with Rabbi Akiva. What was the transformation that Rabbi Akiva himself went through? It's shocking if you never heard it before. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva in Psachim Daf Mem Tesamid Beis. Tanya Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the great holy Rabbi Akiva, the great lover of Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva said about himself, before he found his own path, Kishayisi Am Haaretz, when I was still an ignorant Jew, not only was I an ignorant person, I was a very negative person. I was a very fiercely angry person. Amarti, I used to say, Miyitein li Talmud Chacham vanashchenu kechamor. If only I could get my hands on a Talmud Chacham, if I could just get my hands on a religious person. He was so antagonistic to Talmidei Chachamim, he said, if I could get my hands on him, I would bite him like a donkey. And his student said to him, Rebbe, this was after he became Rabbi Akiva, he was recalling what it was like in his younger years. Rebbe, why did you say bite like a donkey? Why didn't you say bite like a dog? Rabbi Akiva says, you're listening very carefully. Good, you're right. I meant what I said. Amar Lahen, he said to his students, the difference between a donkey and a dog is that while a dog tears at the flesh, a donkey is shover etzem, it breaks the bones. That's how angry I was. That's how negative I was. And yet that same Rabbi Akiva who wanted to break the bones, to be shover etzem, literally to crush the bones of Talmidei Chacham. Etzem means the essence of something. He looked at a Talmud Chacham and he saw the pure essence of a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham was Toho Kabaro. He saw on the inside and the outside, like I mentioned in a shir last week, a Talmud Chacham who's so pure and so holy. Rabbi Akiva saw the Talmud Chacham and he was so angry because he said, I could never be that. And he wanted to crush their bones, to break their etzem, to break their essence. But Rabbi Akiva had a change of heart. And Rabbi Akiva, of course, we know from Avos Derbi Nasan, Brishus, I see our Rabbanim have joined us, Brishus Rabbi Neuberger and Rabbi Kohn. Rabbi Akiva had a change of heart. He saw that delicate, that little gentle drops of water could actually penetrate a rock. And that angry Rabbi Akiva in Psachim Daf Mem Tesamid Beis became the delicate, gentle tzaddik who was willing to humble himself, who was willing to allow himself to become soft in his heart. And he said, if those little drops of water could penetrate a rock, then maybe the sweet words of Torah, maybe the delicate, if I can just try to hear the sweetness of Torah, not to break myself for Torah, but if I could just allow those, little by little, those delicate and soft drops of water to penetrate my coarse exterior, maybe I could become that holy and sweet Rabbi Akiva. This was the transformation that Rabbi Akiva went through, from being an angry and harsh and coarse person who thought that a life of Torah and mitzvos was something so negative, to become that sweet, delicate tzaddik, the Rabbi Akiva who was the Oev, who loved Jews, who said, V'hafta l'recha kamocha is the klal gadol b'Torah. His Talmud, Rabbi Meir, also underwent an unbelievable transformation. And Rabbi Meir learned the lesson from his own Rebbetzin, from his own wife. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Meir, brachos daf yoram at Aleph, that there were these biryone, Rashi says, pritzim. There were some troublemakers. There were some people in the neighborhood who were a bad influence, driving nice Jewish boys and girls astray. It's not exactly clear what they were up to, who these individuals were. These troublemakers in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. V'hava kametzaru leituvan. The Gemara says that they were bothering Rabbi Meir terribly, and he wanted to get rid of them. So Rabbi Meir decided, I have to break them. I'm going to destroy them. Have a kaboy, Rabbi Meir, rachame alavayu ki hechi delimisu. Rabbi Meir davened that those individuals should drop dead. I need them to be gone. I need them out of my way so that I can continue to educate, to teach, to inspire. And Rabbi Meir's wife, Broya, came over to him and said, Meir, what are you doing? And Rabbi Meir explained, they're no good, we have to get them out of the way. And she said, Rabbi Meir, is that how you see people? Is that how you see a person who's a little bit harsh on the surface? Who needs to be fixed up a little bit? Who needs to undergo some type of tikkun? Well, you see a person who's a little rough around the edges and you want to just destroy the person. You daven that Hashem should take them out of the world? That they should just drop dead? Amr le Bruria. Bruria, his Rebbetzin, said to him, Ma'it aitucha, what are you thinking? You think the pasuk says that David HaMelech said, Yitamu chata'im? And did you think that Yitamu chata'im means that the sinners, Yitamu, should cease to exist? That's not what David HaMelech said. Miksiv chotim? It doesn't say the sinners should die. It says chata'im. It says their sinful ways should die. They should undergo a transformation. They shouldn't be bad fellows anymore. And go to the end of the pasuk. V'rishayim od einam yitamu chataim min ha'aretz v'rishayim od einam. How could the evil cease to exist if they're no longer there? What David HaMelech is saying is that the evil needs to be corrected. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be elevated. And if you think the only way to make the world a better place is to destroy it, says Bruria, you've got your perspective all wrong. Maybe you should daven instead that they should be chozer b'tshuva. And Rabbi Meir said, maybe I should taka daven instead that they should be chozer b'tshuva. And the Gemara over there concludes, brachos davyuram at aleph, bo'u rachme alavayu, he davened for them, v'hadru b'tshuva. And those fellows who Rabbi Meir was ready to get rid of because they were no good, Rabbi Meir had a change of perspective. And he came to appreciate that, you know what, if you dig a little deeper, there's always something sweet, even underneath that surface, which is sometimes so harsh. It was the same transformation that his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, had gone through in himself. Rabbi Akiva was so negative towards religious people, became the ultimate Rebbe. Rabbi Meir, who was so negative to these individuals who needed a fixing, eventually came to see things differently, and he davened they should do tshuva, and they were chozer b'tshuva. And that's why elsewhere we find about Rabbi Meir, that it's Dafka Rabbi Meir, who defends Jews like no one else in Kol HaTorah Kula. In the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, it's Rabbi Meir who says against Rabbi Yehuda, who argues that if we want to be considered the children of Hashem, we have to live up to it. We have to be well-behaved. Rabbi Meir says even the worst Jews, even a Jew who strays far from Hashem, Bein kach u bein kach atem kruyim banim, that banim atem el Hashem elokeichem is not dependent on our behavior. Of course we want to be good children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rabbi Meir says when you meet a Jew who seems to have strayed very, very far from Avinu Shva Shemayim, such a Jew is still called Banu Matem L'Hashem L'Kechem. About such a Jew, Hashem says, this is my child. This is still my child. Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich, I just finished reading the art school biography of Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich, one of the great, awesome architects of Torah in America. Someone who believed and believed and believed in that inherent goodness within people. Rosh Raga Feivel was once asked by a father who said to him, he said, you know, my son is... He's a very wild child. I need to find a way to... So Rosh Raga Feivel said, no, please, don't curb his wildness. That would be a terrible mistake. He's a Leibedik kid. Just learn how to channel it in the right way. Channel that Leibedikite into devotion and for Torah, for mitzvos. And you'll see, it's all good. It's just a question of directing it in the right direction. And Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich used to bring proof of this idea from Avos Derbi Nassim Perek Tes Zayin, where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar tells us about the Yetzirah, Mashal l'maha davar domeh. What is the Yetzirah like? Listen to these beautiful words of Chazal. The Yetzirah is like barzel shehitiluhu b'soch ha'or. The Yetzirah is like barzel. It's like iron that has been placed within the fire. Kol zman shehu b'soch ha'or, as long as it's in the fire, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is called an or mufla. We sing in the Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon was a great fire. And that's why we're sitting here with candles and with bonfires and all around the world. We're lighting lights in honor of Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon, that world of the fire, says the Brice of Avos Derbi Nassim, as long as the Yetzirah is in the fire, Osin Mimenu Kol Kalim Sheyirtzu, you can make any kli you want out of it. You can mold the Yetzirah into something beautiful. But as long as you keep it directed in the right direction. That was the limud of Rabbi Meir. The Rebbe Meir who wanted to daven for sinful people to die, who had such a change of heart that he became the Rebbe Meir who declared, and we paskin this way, Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, bein kach u bein kach kriyim banim. Those were the eyes of Rabbi Akiva and the eyes of Rabbi Meir. And now, of course, we come to the Baal Hilula of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai himself. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, perhaps more than anyone else, underwent this transformation. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who spent 12 years hiding in a cave, in a dark cave, in a cold cave, I learned with some of my Talmidim in YU this morning. We were learning a piece from the Tolna Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael. And he wonders, you know, we sing in the Bar Yochai, Moshav Tov Yashavta, you sat in such a good dwelling place. And the Talmud Rebbe paints such a realistic picture for us. What was good about sitting in a cold, dark cave for 12 months, eating carob? That's all he had to eat. Charuv, can you imagine? It's bad enough to get through one piece on Tu B'Shvat. Imagine going 12 years on carob and water. He had nothing. They had one set of clothing. They didn't have a Gemara. They didn't have a Sefer Torah. They didn't have matzah. The Talmud Rebbe paints a very realistic picture. We're upset we haven't had a couple of months of Kriyas HaTorah. 12 years he didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah. 12 years he didn't daven with the minyan. 12 years he didn't have matzah on Pesach. He didn't have dalid minim. So what was the Moshav Tov Yashavta, Rabbi Shimon sitting in that cave? And yes, he's learning Torah Yom V'Laila with his son. But you know, you come out of such an experience, you're a little bit jaded. Even a tzaddik like Rabbi Shimon. And he comes out and he's very angry. He's very angry at the world in a holy way, in a very holy way. He walks out of the cave after 12 years and he sees nice, fine Erlicha Jews just trying to make a living, trying to make a little parnasa. And he's angry at them. And he's burning them up with his eyes. And it's well-intended, but it's painful to watch. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is that what you learned in the cave? Now that you're so religious, what, you can't be sovel anyone else? You don't have space in your worldview to look at a person who's not quite there yet? A person, an Erlich Yid who does a little plowing and planting to make a living. You have no place in your worldview for such a person. You're burning them up with your eyes. Rabbi Shimon, go back to your cave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Rabbi Shimon back to his cave to learn a different perspective. And he comes out after that 13th year. And the eyes of Rabbi Shimon have changed so radically. He's so positive. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who tells us in the Gemara in Sukkah that he says, I could defend any Jew in the world. I can pater the whole world min hadin. I could take the biggest sinner and find a limud zchus for such a person. He had learned the lesson of his Rebbe, of Rabbi Akiva, to be able to see things differently, to see more deeply. He had learned the lesson of his friend, of his chavrusa, of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon underwent this awesome transformation. You don't have to destroy everything around you in order to try to live a life of holiness. Rabbi Shimon learned that there's a way to look at a Jew, a simple Jew, and to see good by him. And I want to show you this perspective of Rabbi Shimon from this coming week's Parsha. In this coming week's Parsha, in Parsha's Bechukosai, Bahar Bechukosai, the double Parsha that we'll read this Shabbos, there's an unbelievable machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It's a machlokas that appears in the Medrash, in the Sifra, in Toras Kohanim. I have it open in front of me. And the Pasuk says as follows, the very beginning of the Parsha. It's describing the good. B'chukosai teilechu. If you live a life of Torah and mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. And the Pasuk says, it's Parakha Vav, Pasuk Vav. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, like Daniel was singing a few minutes ago, a tefillah of shalom. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. We long for shalom. We long for peace. For Yishuv Adas, for peace in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you practice my Torah and mitzvot, I promise you I'll give you a life of shalom. Ushchavtem ve'ein machrid. You'll be able to get a good night's sleep. You'll be able to sleep at night without being afraid. Ve'yishbati chayara min ha'aretz, and I will remove all of the wild beasts from the land. Ve'cherev lo sa'avur ba'artzachem. And the sword will not pass through your land. War will be uprooted from the land. Nu, what's the pshat in the pasuk? A machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had to read the words Ve'yishbati chaya ra'a min ha'aretz. I will remove the wild animals from the land. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the Sifra, in the Medrash Halacha, Toras Kohanim, Rabbi Yehuda says there's only one way to get rid of a wild animal, ma'avira min ha'olam. Rabbi Yehuda says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you behave like a good Jewish boy or girl, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you peace, I will give you sleep-filled nights, I will remove any type of war from your midst, v'shbati chayara min ha'aretz. And I will destroy, I will remove, hishbati, I will finish off once and for all of the wild animals. There will never be a dangerous lion or a tiger or a bear waiting for you at the outside your doorstep. I'll remove all the wild animals from the land. You have nothing to be afraid of. Rabbi Yehuda understands v'shbati chayara min ha'aretz means the destruction of wild animals. And it's a good taitch. It's Pasha Pshat. Comes along Rabbi Shimon. And we know from Rashi at the beginning of Masechah Shavuos on Daf Beis, we know from the Rambam in his introduction to the Peirush HaMishnah, that Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Says Rabbi Shimon, the Bar Plugta Rabbi Yehuda, what does it mean, V'yishabati chaya ra min ha'aretz, I'll remove the wild animals from the world, I'm not going to destroy them. Mashbisan shelo yizoku, I'm going to remove their wildness. They're not going to be so wild in a negative way anymore. Hishbati chaya ra doesn't mean I'm going to destroy the wild animals, but I'll remove the ra'a from the animals, the wildness, the destructiveness of the animals. I'll find a way to teach the animals to what to behave properly. Is this not what the Navi Yeshaya predicts? And while the Rambam understands it metaphorically, is this not what the Navi Yeshaya is talking about? Of a wolf and a lamb sitting side by side? Of a child being able to play with a venomous snake and not being afraid that it's going to harm him? Whether you understand it again like the metaphor of the Rambam, that the nations of the world will stop picking on Klal Yisrael, or you understand it literally, that wild animals will stop being dangerous. But says Rabbi Shimon, Mashbisan shelo yizoku, you don't have to destroy the wild animals to be able to fulfill the bracha of Ishbati Chaya Ra min Aretz. Maybe there's a way to work with the wild animals to make them a little less vild, a little less wild. And the Ragachover points out in his Safnas Panayach in this week's Parsha that it's actually Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon Lishitasam. Because if you remember, it wasn't that long ago we had a Yom Tov called Pesach. And in Meseches Psachim, the Mishnayos point out that Rabbi Yehuda says when you're dealing with chametz, there's only one way to deal with chametz, and that is sreifa. You need to burn it. You need to destroy it completely. But Rabbi Shimon comes along, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's other ways. There's other ways to deal with chametz, which of course is merames to the Yetzirah. You don't have to destroy it. There's a way to fix it. There's a way to be metakin. There's a way to see it differently. The same Rabbi Shimon who came out of his cave after 12 years and was burning people up with his eyes, destroying Jews who just weren't as frum as he was. He had a total change of perspective. He was able to see Hashem's world as beautiful. He was able to see a Jew who wasn't quite there yet. He was able to see him for who he really was on the inside. And that's the base medrash again of Rabbi Akiva, of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Someone once came to the Baal HaTanya and asked the Baal HaTanya, someone came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I apologize, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and said to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, they said, what does a Rebbe do? What's the job of a Rebbe? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, a Rebbe, the job of a Rebbe is to keep digging. The job of a Rebbe is to keep digging and digging and digging and digging until a Rebbe discovers a diamond inside of every Jew. How did the Lubavitcher Rebbe know that there's a diamond inside of every Jew? Maybe you dig in the dirt and you don't find anything. But again, it goes back to the chiddush of Rabbi Meir, that banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. Every Jew, this base medrash of Rabbi Akiva, of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Shimon, what they wanted us to know is that every single one of us is created in the divine image, and even more so, banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. We carry the DNA of the creator of the world inside of us, which means it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. If you keep digging, and you keep digging, and you keep digging, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that Freud, when he was digging, he only dug up a lot of dirt. But a Rebbe knows how to dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until he discovers that diamond buried beneath all of that dirt. He finds that spiritual DNA, that point within a Jew, that negativity that can be transformed with the right set of glasses, with the right perspective. That's what a Rebbe does. And what kind of Rebbe do we have like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was able to see Jews in such a good way, to change his whole perspective. This past Shabbos was the yard site of Rav Gershon Stern. Rav Gershon Stern was a great Hungarian Rav in Mad, Hungary. We have a sefer from him called the Yalkut HaGershuni. I happened to see it was his yard site this Shabbos. I like the sefer on Chumash, so I picked up the Yalkut HaGershuni. And he writes on the words, Emor Ela Kohanim B'nei Aaron. He pauses right there. Emor Ela Kohanim, tell the Kohanim B'nei Aaron. Period. Pause right there. Tell the Kohanim, do you know who you are? Make sure you know well who you are. Who do you come from? Emor el Kohanim. Tell every Kohen, B'nai Aaron. Do you know who your ancestor was? Whether you were an actual child of Aaron a Kohen or a grandson of Aaron a Kohen or a descendant of Aaron a Kohen? Emor el Kohanim. Tell the Kohanim, those individuals who are charged with the responsibility of leading Klal Yisrael, remember who you come from. And if you know where you come from, it'll be much easier to be true to yourself. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says to every Jew, do you know who you are? Do you know where you come from? Do you understand the chelak alokam imal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has implanted inside of you? Do you realize that that wildness that sometimes comes out in the worst of ways, Hishbati Chayram in Aretz, doesn't mean you have to destroy yourself? The Baal HaTanya didn't break the snuff box, but he removed the pin and was able to use it for a higher purpose. That's the legacy of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Emor El Kwanim. It's not by chance that Parshas Emor leads us into the Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer. Because tonight, as we celebrate the 33rd night of the Omer, we know in the count of the Sviros, it's Hod Shebahod. It's Hod Shebahod. And each of the 7 weeks of Sviros HaOmer corresponding to a different Sviro also has a corresponding figure, a corresponding personality, the 7 Ushpizen who we invite into our Sukkah on Sukkis. Avraham is Chesed and Yitzchak is Gvura and Yaakov is Tiferes and Moshe is Netzach and Aaron HaKohen is the world of Hod. What do we know about the Midah of Aaron HaKohen? It's very much the legacy of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Aaron HaKohen Hillel tells us in Pirkei Avos, Hevei mitalmidav shal Aaron Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oev es habrios umakarvan l'Torah. Yes, there's a derech of breaking people and hoping that maybe if I yell at you enough, maybe you'll be chozer b'tshuva. That's a derech. It's a derech. And it works for very few people. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in his Beis Medrash revealed a different derech. It's a derech of Oev es habrios umakarvan l'Torah. It's by seeing good by a Jew. It's reminding a Jew essentially who he is or who she is. Oev es habrios umakarvan l'Torah. We started with the Baal HaTanya, and I'll come full circle with the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya interprets the words of Hillel in the most famous chapter of the Tanya, in chapter 32, Perek Lamed Beis. It just so happens that these words, Oev es habrios, is the 32nd of the 48 Kinyanei Torah. Which means that once you've mastered Oev es habrios, then you can come to Lag BaOmer. Says the Baal HaTanya, be a student of Aaron HaKohen to be Oev es habrios. Who does that mean to love? That means to love your chavrusa. That means to love your Rebbe. That means to love people who have exactly your hashkafa. How does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai attract tens of thousands of Jews to Meiron? From the biggest Hasidic Rebbes to Jews who didn't even wear tefillin that morning, who don't make a bracha on the food they eat, who probably don't even keep Shabbos. What's their attraction? How are they pulled into that world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? And the answer is, because it's the Midah of Aaron HaKohen. It's Hod Shebahod. It's a double dose of the Midah of Hod, the Midah of Aaron HaKohen. Writes the Baal HaTanya, what does it mean to be Oev es habrios? Lomar, Sha'af HaRechokim Mitoras Hashem Vavudaso. The secret of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the secret of the Zohar is that what? That even those Jews who are far from Hashem's Torah, and not that we encourage it, we don't want them to be that way, but how do I look at such a Jew? And how do I look at myself in my lowest moments? To such a Jew who's far away, Oev es habrios, we love such a Jew. He's called Brios, says the Baal HaTanya, Nikra'im B'Shem Brios Ba'alma. Brios just means a creature. We don't even call such a person, because they're not such a person. They're that Vilda Chaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising in this week's Parsha in B'chukosai. Hishbati Chaya Ra'a Min Ha'aretz. Rabbi Shimon says, even that Vilda Chaya can become a well-behaved animal. Oev es habrios. Brios Ba'alma, says the Baal HaTanya. Even a Jew who's nothing more than a creature. His only maila was the fact that he was created by God. Tzarech lemoishchon bechevle avosos ava. Need to be pulled in with ropes of love. And again, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You don't need to destroy the wild animals. You just need to be makari of those wild animals. Like the Tzemach Tzedek said, the chiddush of chesidus is not holding the dog's mouth closed, and it's not punching out its teeth, but it's teaching the dog you don't have to be such a wild dog anymore. That's the chiddush of Chassidus. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the secret of Pnimiyas HaTorah. The Baal Shem Tov, of course, was the founder of Chassidus. And I want to conclude with something that I read in the Sefer called Birchas Av in Parsha Shmini. He says there were 3 different tzaddikim in the world of Chassidus who each in their own way taught us how to see good by Jews. And I want to ask you, which one do you think is the highest level? The Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe Reb Zusha, Zechusi Yagen Aleinu, and the Holy Berditchever. And he writes here in Parsha Shmini, in the Sefer Birchas Av, each one had their own way of seeing Jewish people in a good way, of loving Jews, of Oev es habrios umakarvan l'Torah. The Rebbe Reb Zusha had an amazing ability, Shelo ra'a klal rabbi Yisrael v'ra'a behem ach tov v'chesed. The Rebbe Reb Zusha of Anapoli did not know how to see bad by Jews. You could tell him something, he couldn't see it, he could not see it. He couldn't see it. The Berdichev, on the other hand, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, he saw what the Jew was doing. He saw the bad thing he was doing. But he always had a way of being Malamid Tzchos on a Jew. The Berdichever saw the Jew in his talis and tefillin fixing his wagon wheel, and he said, "Oh, Hashem, wow, look how this Jew." He didn't say, "Oh, look, this Jew, this low person walks out in the middle of davening to fix his car." He said, "Wow, Hashem, look how fixing his wagon wheel is such an avoda that he puts on his talis and tefillin to fix the wagon wheel." He saw the Ra, but he was mahapich et tov. And then there was the Baal Shem Tov. What about the Baal Shem Tov? How did the Baal Shem Tov see Jews? He writes, Sha'af Sha'rav Ehavian as Hachatoim Shechotim Klal Yisrael. The Baal Shem Tov saw the sins. He wasn't like the Rebbe Reb Zusha, who couldn't even see it. He wasn't like the Berdichever, who saw it and made a limud tzos and was mahapich et tov. The Baal Shem Tov saw you for who you are, with your shortcomings. Mikol makam av osam ava oza kamavis. The Baal Shem Tov was able to makabel you where you are. Umasar nafshu lahamtik hadina me'aleim. He accepted you for who you are. He didn't try to make a limud tzchuz. He knew it was an avera that you were doing, but he still loved you because he was able to see something good inside of you, even as he was looking the avera straight in the face. So I ask you, who's the highest level? Is the highest level the Rebbe Reb Zusha, who didn't see it at all? Is it the Berdichever, who was able to take a negative act and turn it into something good? But I think we would have to conclude, if we asked the Reb Zusha himself, and if we asked the Berdichever himself, they would say, who are we compared to the holy Baal Shem Tov? It must be that the highest level is to be able to look at a Jew who does an Avera, and to be able to say, af al piche, not that I encourage it, be careful understanding what I'm saying. We don't encourage that Avera. You don't think Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wants every Jew who comes to Meiron to know Shas from cover to cover, to keep Shabbos, to keep kosher, to make brachos, to wear tefillin, to keep the intricate details of Taras Mishpacha? Of course he wants that. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is also able to look at a Jew where he is, and to still see good by him. And that's why the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin said, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is able to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everyone, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the Rebbe for everyone. Because everyone has a place where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he had such a way of looking at people. He doesn't break you, and he doesn't try to turn you into something that you're not. He's able to just see, I know there's something good inside of you. And I know that if I can love you, if I can be oiv esabrios, hod shebahod, again, that double dose of Aaron HaKohen, I know that eventually I'll be able, like the Baal HaTanya said, and like the Baal HaTrevi said, to dig out that diamond that's buried inside of you. To teach the wild dog, you don't need to be a wild dog. This is the legacy of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is the legacy of Rabbi Meir. This is the legacy of Rabbi Akiva. And this is how I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see one another. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see ourselves. And this is what we celebrate for the next 25 hours. So I thank you all so much for learning with me. Reb Daniel, I think, is going to lead us in Bar Yochai, although I think Rabbi Neuberger is maybe going to share a couple of words just before that.